Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the first of his meditations, after discussing why it is that we can doubt the senses and everything that comes to us through the senses, René Descartes is going to try to move further and find something that we can be completely certain about, a range of truths that we can build upon as a sure foundation. And so first he tells us that we can in fact doubt what comes to us through or from our senses, that is what we hear, what we smell, what we feel, what we taste. Why? Well, because our perceptions, they can be erring. We can mistake, you know, something that looks square for something that's actually round at a distance. There's all sorts of ways we can get things wrong. And of course, we could also be dreaming. But Descartes points out that even when we're dreaming, if we think about the basic components or building blocks of what it is that we are dreaming, the things that we mistakenly assume that we're perceiving, they have to be based on what he calls more simple and universal things. And those are going to be true or real. It could be that all the images that we're getting are actually fake, but at least some sort of base level should be real. And Descartes doesn't have this in front of him, of course, as a possibility at the time, but you might think about the image that you're seeing or hearing right now and the fact that we live in this world that is mediated through all these digital interfaces. Because, you know, analog stuff, at least there's some sort of similarity to what it is that is being represented or portrayed. Although the similarity can sometimes be quite strange and it's hard to wrap our heads around. You know, a visual similarity, we can get that quite easily. But how exactly are the grooves on a record the sound that we're hearing, right? That's a little bit different. But still, there is a fairly close connection compared to when we think about things as they are in the digital world, where when it comes down to it, the entire thing is really a bunch of machine language based on on-off switches and logic operators arrayed into incredibly complex technology now at this point. At one point, it was actually quite simple and easy to follow. Now it's a little bit tougher to wrap our head around. But we know that at least in theory, what's going on in our computers and our technology and what's coming to us through our visual images, for example, is at bottom something mathematical. You might also think about the pixels in your computer. They have codes that are, again, a matter of mathematics. The music that you hear, the sounds that you hear, mathematics. Or at least mathematically representable. What then for Descartes would constitute this, you might call it foundation or threshold below which everything can be taken as being real? He gives us a list. Corporeal nature, right? The nature of bodily things, whatever it is that they actually happen to be. Maybe it's atoms, maybe it's something else. Depends on the kind of physics that you have. Extension. This is another broader term that Descartes uses quite frequently in his works to talk about bodily things. They have extension. For example, this is an extended substance. It exists with certain dimensions. And here we can also talk about another part of extension, figure or shape, right? This is the shape of a book. This is the shape of a tie. This is the shape of a hand with fingers and fingernails. And we can go on and on and on, right? Each of them has their own particular shape. You might think about my mustache and beard as having a certain shape to them, which is actually composed of a whole bunch of other little shapes all coming together, right? Or the shape of my eyes. hopefully spherical, more or less. I actually found out that the reason why I have the astigmatism that I do is because my eyeballs are a little bit more ovaloid than they ought to be. So we can go on and on with examples of this. Quantity. How long is something? Or he calls it quantity or largeness, grandeur in French. Again, let's take a book. It has a length, width, and depth. We can also talk about number. How many pages are in this book of Descartes' Meditations? Actually, quite a few, given that it also has the responses and the objections. Those are all things that we can say, those really exist. And then he adds in there as well, space, lieu, right? The space in which something is, and time, temps, right? So each of those is something that Descartes says, that's real at least. Whatever is happening on the level of the senses, maybe that is how our minds put those things together, or we could be, completely mistaken about them. Maybe they're the equivalent of like misfirings going on, but all this lower level stuff, that has to be real. So he makes a distinction then between two different sets of sciences. And this is very interesting because what we see here is Descartes telling us that certain sciences can be brought into doubt. And given his project of calling everything into doubt that can possibly be called into doubt, that means that those sciences are, in effect, taken off the table as possible things to appeal to. So what does he say? He says, this is perhaps why we're not badly concluding. If we say that physics, astronomy, medicine, and all the other sciences that depend on the consideration of composite things are actually very doubtful and uncertain. Physics, we can't really know if things are the way physics is representing them to us because we can't know if the things are the way that we think that they are. Medicine, even more so. Biology, if biology existed at that time as a direct object of study, all of those things would fit into those sorts of issues. Optics, things that are sort of dependent upon physics. All of them deal with material things, composite things that are not at the very bottom level. So what deals with things that are, you could say, at the basis of all these others? Here Descartes only names two disciplines. He talks about arithmetic, which is the science of number, right? And geometry. And it's also important to remember that Descartes is one of the people who brought these together. If you've heard of Cartesian coordinates, there's a reason why they're called Cartesian. He's one of the people who saw the connections between arithmetic and geometry. And then he brings up the possibility of talking about other similar sciences. What are they dealing with that gives them a higher degree of connection to reality? They're dealing with simple, as he says, and general things, things that are very simple and general, very much so in the French. So these are the sciences that are dealing with what's most simple, most general. What else would we include in there? I suppose logic, which he talks about in other places. Or perhaps we might include metaphysics. If physics is doubtful, then maybe metaphysics is not quite so doubtful if we're doing it right, Descartes would say. So what is the upshot of this? These we can trust. These we can use as a basis. Why? Because, as he says, these have something, not everything necessarily, but at least something, quelque chose, which is certain and indubitable. And that seems to offer us the prospect of finding at least some basis for escaping doubt. Very soon after that, he's going to point out that even these things could be called into doubt. But first, we have to see this fundamental distinction, he thinks, between those things that we're getting from our senses and which involve things that we take in through our senses, those which we understand primarily through the operation of reason and the intellect, although perhaps involving some imagination as well, and those would include arithmetic and geometry. If those go, then it seems we're really at sea and struggling with doubt. So at least at one point, he holds these out as a promise that maybe we do have something that we can take as a basis, something that's totally certain and indubitable. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.